I know they keep telling me I need a hearing aid, but I really thought I went deaf then. So, hey, it's good seeing Bitsy with us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Psalm, chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence that is with us this day. I pray today, Lord, as I break the bread of light, that God, that you would anoint your servant this morning, God, to speak the words that you would have me to speak. I pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken my words and quicken my thoughts. Meet every need that is in this house today, and for those that are watching and those that will watch at a later time, God, I pray that blessings upon each of them this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to minister this morning on a thought the Lord gave me this week. Living a joyful life. Living a joyful life. You don't have to respond by a raised hand or anything, but have you ever gotten to the place that you just got sick and tired of the world? I have. Pretty much weekly. Sometimes daily. We look in what is going on in our world and in our society today, and it amazes me of how that we are living in a time period that, as Michelle said, that we are getting so close to the coming of the Lord, but yet we are also living in a place where that the world is getting more wicked. And if you would allow me to even go on and go a little further, there is a gradual falling away from the principles of God in a lot of the church world today. I daily get emails of things that talks about the church world and about the time that we are living in. And let me say this morning. If we allow it to happen, the world can drag us down. The world can get us to the place that we are more caught up with the bad things instead of the good things of God. Yes, we live in a secular, carnal, immoral society. Yes, we are seeing it even creep into the church realm today. But we know that there is a better way. Everybody say there's a better way. Amen. That we can live a joyful life and not be bogged down with the things of this world. We have to make up our mind. Are we going to live a joyful life, or are we going to live a happy life? A happy life is a temporal season. Happiness can be taken away at the snap of a thumb. But a joyful life is built upon Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard me say that in the last several weeks? We get to the place where that we get our eyes onto the world, and I'll be honest with you, transparent, part 2 from last week. It bothers me when I see people of the world prospering and it looks like that God's people are not. Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been to the place that you got to where you said, I just don't think it's fair? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit tells me every time I say that, well, life's not going to be fair because we are not a part of this world. We're just passing through. And every time that I look at the things that takes place in society, God reminds me that that's just a spiritual speed bump that we are passing over. And I think to myself, well, with all of this going on, how can we live a joyful life? How can we get to the place where that we do not have our eyes fixed upon what is going on in society to allow that to tear us down? Amen? David, in writing here in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, he was talking about that in verses number 1 and verse 2. But then he goes to verse 3 and he begins to lay out a perfect plan how that every one of us here today and those that are watching can live a joyful life. Living a joyful life doesn't mean everything's going to go okay all the time with us. We are Christians, but there are going to be times that we're going to be tested. There are going to be times that things just doesn't make any sense at all. But the Bible says that it will rain on the just and on the unjust. But even though with all of that going on, God's word says that we can live a joyful life. How can we do that, Pastor Greg? Verse 3, if you'll follow along with me here in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, he says, number 1, we've got to trust in the Lord. I'll be honest, real honest. I don't trust too many people. I've been dogged out too many times in my life of 60 years to know that everybody does not have my best interest in their mind. I'm going to blow some shoes and socks off y'all's feet today. You can't trust everybody. There are going to be times that people's going to say, hey, we're for you. We've got your back. But I've learned in 60 years that's not the case. A lot of times it's only if there's something in it for them. Can I tell you, the God that I serve today sent his son to pay a price that he knew that there was no way I could ever repay that price. He's the number one person that I put my faith and my trust in. God has never, ever failed me. I failed him plenty of times, but God has never failed me, and he never will. God, if we will be honest today, you can say God has never failed you. Yes, there are things that will take place in our life that will not make a bit of sense. We can't figure it out. We can get a piece of paper out and we can try to list it out. We can listen to all the motivational speeches from all the great motivational speakers. We can listen to all the great preachers, but I'm here to tell you there's some things that happens to us in life that we will never be able to figure it out. Even when we get to heaven, I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to walk up and I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, why? But you know what? I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to say simply this, I don't remember. And what happened back then, that's in the past. I'm at a better place today. Can I tell you, friend, the place where we are headed to, that great place that we're going to receive a promotion one of these days, that, friend, it's going to be in no way that this world can compare to what God has in store for all of God's people. If you believe that, give him praise in the house this morning. But the Bible says that we've got to trust in the Lord. When things make no sense, When we look around, we scratch our head. This is the way that I get many times. You can ask my wife and my son that when I'm at a place where there's a lot on my mind, I'm going around like this. Number one, my head's hurting. Some of my health things that I have going on, I have frequent headaches, but there are other times that besides my head hurting, I'm rubbing my head because I'm saying, Lord, it makes no sense. And I'll be honest, transparent. There are sometimes I ask God, God, why are you blessing them who is not faithful, they're not serving you, and Lord God, I serve you, I work for you, I preach your word, and God, why isn't things getting better for me? You said, well, preacher, you're not supposed to be like that. You're the man of God, but I'm also human. If you come up here today and you pinch my skin, you know what? According to how much pressure you put on that, it's going to hurt. What's your point? It's going to let you know I'm human. How many times have we ever got to the place that we said, God, it just makes no sense. You're blessing that family, but Lord, here's my family that is serving you, working for you, and God, we don't see anything happening in this situation that we've got going on. But all along, God keeps saying, trust in me. Do you realize that today, and do I realize today that God knows your future? Can I tell us, each and every one of us in this house this morning, your best interest and my best interest is in his hand. And he says, trust in me and do good. Amen? He goes on in verse number 4, not only trust, but he said, delight yourself in the Lord. That's what worship, that's what praise is all about. I don't know what your praise and worship life is like outside of this church, but let me say this. Your praise and worship should be going on 7 days a week. My praise and worship should be going on 7 days a week. My praise and worship and your praise and worship does not depend if everything is going good or if it's bad. Amen? I talked about the song last week, "The God on the Mountain is still the God in the Valley." Amen. No matter what we go through in life, God says, delight in me. I wonder so many times, do we really understand who we're serving? I wonder, do we really get to the place that we really understand that we are serving more than just a God in name? Or have we ever figured it out that we're serving the God that created the universe? The God that created every planet, the God that created all the stars, placed them in the atmosphere and called each star by name. Do we understand that he is the one that made our body? He is the one that, if you would allow me to put it like this, to put spare parts in our body that we really don't need, that we can do without. But God is the one that knows everything about you and me. He is one that today that says, even when things are going bad, he said, delight yourself in me. Worship me. Praise me. Be thankful unto me. Amen? I've seen so many times in 60 years of my life how that God has turned things around just like that. When it looked like that there was no answer anywhere in sight, God did that. Amen? And he doesn't only do it for this preacher. He does it for every adult. But young people, I want you to know he does it for you all also. He is a God that is so much wants to be in love with each and every one of us to get us to the place that we said, I'm happy in the Lord. I'm delightful. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. My worship does not depend upon situations. My worship depends upon my relationship with God. Amen? He said, trust in the Lord. Secondly, he said, delight in the Lord. And here's where it gets hard sometimes. Commit your way unto the Lord. And here's a way that the devil tries to do God's people. They're being blessed. You're still on the same problem. The problem doesn't look like it's going to get any better. You don't see any way that that's going to change. God must not really care about you. But yet you keep saying that you're going to serve Him. You're going to keep coming to church. You're going to keep praying and reading the Word, but yet your situation is not changing. Anybody ever been there? But you know what? The enemy will tell you, well, why don't you just give up and quit serving God? Job was a man of God. Job was one that had his faith. Job trusted in the Lord. Job delighted himself in the Lord. But thirdly, Job was committed unto the Lord. There are times that God is wanting to see how much faithfulness that we have to Him. It's easy to serve when things are going great. But it's another thing when things that are at a standstill, or it seems like they're not going in the direction that we want it to go. But all along, God keeps saying, trust me. Delight yourself in me. Thirdly, be committed to me. There are so many people that are that close to receiving their miracle from God. They're not able to see where God is taking them through. They can't see how that God is turning the things around. How many times have you heard your pastor say it's in the times that when things are quiet that God is doing some of His best work? And it's also in those times that God is saying this, I want to see how faithful you're going to be to me. God will always, everybody say always, bless His people. It may not come in the time that we think it should come. It may not happen in the way that we think that it's going to happen, but God will always bless His people because He's an almighty, awesome God. His ways are not our ways. His time is not our time. But He's never too late. He's never too early. But He's always on time. Amen? Commit. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. He didn't say commit to the way of the world. He didn't say look to the world. But He said commit yourself to God. The world will tell you to try the things of the world to get your answer met. But God said, commit your ways to the Lord. For every one of us in this building this morning, we've got to learn to get to the place that we commit to Him. In other words, we surrender everything to Him. How many times have you seen people worship and they got arms and hands lifted up to the Lord? You know what that's a sign of? Universal sign around the world? It's a form of surrender. And when we are worshiping with arms and hands lifted up, we are simply saying, Lord, we're surrendering everything to You. And when we surrender everything to Him, that means that we are committing everything to Him. Lord, I don't understand how You're going to do it, but I'm going to commit to You. I hear the world and I hear the enemy telling me I need to do this and I need to do that, but God, I'm committing to you. Lord, for that one Christian that comes to me and tries to tell me what to do, even though they may think they have my best interest in their hand, but yet, God, I'm going to commit to you. Because hear me today, church. Nobody knows better about you than your Heavenly Father. As much as your pastor loves and cares about everybody in this building and those that are watching, there's only so far that I can go. Oh, I can come and I can give you a good pep talk and I can come and I can tell you my opinion, but let me tell you something. You don't need my opinion. You don't need the world's opinion. What we need is we need God, amen, in our life. Every day we need God. We need to commit to Him and to what God is trying to say. Well, I haven't heard from Him, Pastor, but yet stay committed to God. And God will see you through. You say, well, that's easier for you, preacher. You're the preacher. Oh, friend, but you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You don't understand some of the places that these shoes have gone with these feet in them. You don't understand how that many times throughout the week that there are things that comes my way that I'm saying, God, it makes no sense. You don't understand how many times throughout the week that there's been times that I've got irritated. And I said, God, it makes no sense. I don't see no way of an outcome that God that is going to be able to help in this matter. I'm tired of waiting for the answer. I need an answer now. You mean you've said that to God? Oh, yeah. And if we was to be honest with ourselves and with God, probably about everybody in this building this morning and those that are watching have said the same exact thing. But all along, God keeps saying, trust in me, delight in me, commit to me. And fourthly, he says, rest in me. David said in Psalms chapter 23, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Can I tell you why that sheep has to be at still water? Because they will not drink and rest if the water is rough. There comes times that we have to wait. We have to search and trust in God and say, Lord, I'm waiting by these still waters. I'm waiting here because, Lord, I don't understand this turmoil that's going on, but, Lord, I'm going to put my rest in you. It's a rare thing, and I mean a rare thing, for me to watch the news, local news, state news, national news, any news. I've got even pretty much anymore, I don't even watch Sports Center news because I'm tired of all the drama. If I look and I watch and listen to all that is going on in the world and I begin to take all of that in, you know what happens? I can't rest. But when I go to this, I don't care how much turmoil is going on in my world. I don't care how it seems like that my life is falling apart. I don't care how much that it seems like that even the church world is falling apart. God keeps saying, but yet look unto Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith. I'm going to be honest. And I know there's Church of God people from other areas and Church of God people from probably state and international and things like that that watches our broadcast at times. And if this is broadcast and they hear it, I still stand upon it. We have a Church of God General Assembly coming up in July. And at that General Assembly, which is comprised of all members of the Church of God, you are the part of the General Assembly. But before that anything comes before the body of the General Assembly, it goes before things that has to be voted on or passed, has to go before all the ordained bishops of the Church of God. And there are always things that comes before the General Assembly, but also before the ordained bishops, that tries to get past every General Assembly. Things that, number one, is sinful. Number two, is carnal. Number three are things that people, in my opinion, that are ministers of the gospel, that are for some of those things, should have their credentials revoked. I don't care if people get mad at me. You have people that are supporting things and wanting things passed that God is not within 1,000 miles from it. But hear me. If I allow myself to dwell on that, I can't rest in the Lord. So what do you do, Pastor? What do we do? In situations when this world is seems like it's falling apart, we've got a presidential election coming up, and I'll be honest, I don't want to vote for the two main people, Democrat or Republican. They both need to get saved. If we dwell on all of that, we can't rest in the Lord. But you know what I have found out? That my help and my rest does not come from this world. Nor does yours. But my help comes from God. And the devil would love to get God's people's eyes, spiritual eyes, focused off of God and focused on the things of this world. Because when we get our eyes focused on the things of this world, we quit trusting in God. We quit being delighted in the Lord. We quit being committed to God. And fourthly, we quit resting in God. We are caught up in society. Let me remind us, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. And I tell you, that journey is about over with. Amen? Lastly, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Lastly, he says, wait upon the Lord. In a baby, from the moment of conception to the time that that baby is born into this world, most cases takes 9 months. In those 9 months, people are saying, I wish this would hurry up. I'm so anxious. I'm so excited. Sometimes there are problems. Sometimes there are health concerns. Sometimes there are things that are going on, and people are saying, it's got to happen quick. That mom and that dad and those grandparents and that family is all anxious for the birth of that baby. But you know what they have to do for 9 months? Wait. I don't know about you, but I'm not a person of patience. I don't know how many of y'all in here says, oh, I can wait for whenever, for whatever. Well, you're a better person than me. Amen? Society's got away from waiting. Amen? Society has got to the place, well, we want a microwavable minute. I preached on this last week, and the end of my message, I'm going to finish it up today. Two nights ago, might have been three nights ago, the Reds was on, and I had was in a mood for something to eat. I went over. I picked out my package. I opened it real carefully. I placed it in the microwave, and I pushed four. And I heard that wonderful sound, pop, 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 pop. And I said, oh, Mr. Orville Redenbacher, you never smelled so good before. And I got my favorite bowl, and I poured that bag into that bowl, and then I got my favorite beverage out in that green bottle called L81, America's Finest. And I began to eat my popcorn, drank my L8 with a smile on my face. Number one, the Reds were winning that game against the Dodgers. And number two, I was enjoying my popcorn and my L8. Well, people today, you say, well, that's you and your popcorn. But how many people today has microwavable meals that they'll just stick in and fix their meal, take it out, and enjoy? But there's something about microwaves also that I don't like. Because there's some things that you can fix on the stove that is better than hearing that ding stating that whatever it was you put into the microwave is done. I like homemade mashed potatoes. I'm not much for instant. I'll eat it if that's all there is, but I'm more of a home-style mashed potatoes. Other vegetables, meat. It's better if it's fixed with time and with patience. Amen? You said, that's just you. Well, I wonder how many here today. This is going to be a perfect way for me to get my illustration across. I wonder how many of us today would rather have a microwave Thanksgiving dinner than they would an old-fashioned Thanksgiving dinner. I heard Jesse talking about, when I was in the office, he was out here and I heard him talking. I think you said that y'all have an air fryer now. Is that correct? I've seen them, but I've never tried one, but they say the food is great. Amen? But can you imagine trying to stick a turkey in a microwave? It would be like Christmas vacation all over again when the woman fixed that turkey and they went to cut it and it just imploded. She started crying. If I was around that table, I would have started crying that day, knowing that my turkey dinner was gone. So what's your point, Pastor Greg? I'm saying sometimes the best things comes when we learn to wait upon God. Amen? I wonder today, what's going on in your life? I wonder today, for those that are watching, what's going on in your life that you're saying, God, you're just going to have to hurry up. You're just going to have to get this done. I know, I've been there. But God just keeps saying this, wait. Wait. But God, wait. Lord, I need it. Wait. I wonder how many times God gets irritated with us because we just keep giving him excuses why we need it, and God just gets to the place where he just says, wait. Maybe with you, he's done with you what he's done with me sometimes. He said, wait, and wait, and wait, and then finally it becomes silence. Well, did God quit hearing us? No. He just knows that we've just quit getting to the place that we're going to wait. We're just going to keep trying to bug him. We're just going to keep trying to rush him. And let's be honest, I wonder how many people here today, including this pastor, and those that are watching, have simply done to the place where you got where you said, well, God, I'm going to help you out a little bit. I've done that. You know what I've done? I made things worse. And then I had to wait longer because God had to fix the mess. The world didn't create it, but I created. The devil didn't create it, I created it. We can blame people, we can blame the devil, but hear me today. As I preach with my thumb pointed back to myself, many times we create our own messes because we don't wait on the Lord. What are you needing from God today? You that are watching, what are you needing from God today? Trust, delight, commit, rest, cease, and lastly, wait and watch God help you to live a joyful life. Father, we come before you. Lord, you and you alone know what people are going through in this building and for those that are watching. God, I know that you laid this message on my heart for this hour. And Lord, I pray that this morning, whatever it is that people are going through, that God, that they would get to the place where they say, Lord, I've got to learn to give it all to you. I can't do anything about it except make matters worse. But God, if I just give it all to you, Lord, if I just trust in you, Lord, if I just delight and continue to worship you, Lord, if I just commit, totally surrender and all to you, Lord, if I'll just begin to rest in you, if I'll just begin to cease trying to figure things out and I just learn to wait upon you, God, you're going to bring me through this. And God, I will have a joyful life because of who you are and because I am your child. God, I pray, touch every individual that is here. Touch every family. Touch those that are watching. And God, I pray your blessings upon each of them today. I pray that, God, that you would make your word come so alive in their heart. And God, that you would strengthen them, encourage them on this journey. And God, even though that, Lord, we may not see an answer anywhere in sight, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God, I pray today, help us to have the faith, not in man, not in society, not in the church, but God, in you. For God, you've never let your people down, and you never will. And God, we thank you for it this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Greg, there are things that are going on in my life. It makes no sense. But God, this message has spoken to me. And today I'm going to put my faith and my trust in God to bring me out of this. Just raise that hand up. God bless those hands. Yes. God, you've seen all the hands. Indicators that, God, they've got their faith in you today. Now, God, bless them, strengthen them, encourage them this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your touch. Direct them, lead them, guide them in every area of their life. And Father, we're going to praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. These altars are open this morning. If you would like to come and gather around these altars and pray, you may say, well, I don't have anything going on in my life. Come and pray anyway. It's here that we gain strength for the journey that we may go through that we don't know anything about. But God says, put your faith and your trust in me. These altars are open for every individual in this building.